any difference.
I'll be my prayer lest I say that which they ought not to say, or to feel something which they ought not to feel.
My father, do not know what to say nor what to think.
Donna has told us that if our minds are upon thee, thou givest peace. We know our strength does come to you, Lord. We ask you this time to establish our thoughts and our minds. And then, if we do have your Spirit, may that Spirit in us say those things which are right and proper, so that nothing will be said that ought not to have been said, but only those things which are of the Lord and fit for edification and do edify. Grant, Lord God, therefore, that every word said may be from you. The thought, Lord Jesus, simply expressed exactly right. The Spirit exactly right, so the tone and all be right. Because we want to be right. We ask this, Lord, only because of thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that it's not just good to be of one mind to simply say I would agree with or concur with what the brethren have already said, because with what Brother Ruddle said took a great deal of courage. But I think he expressed perfectly the thoughts of my heart concerning my love for Brother Branham, which was not based in the miraculous ministry which he had, though I must admit that that is what shook me years ago when I first saw him in Canada. I was in a backslidden condition because of not understanding the two vines. If Brother Branham's ministry had ended with merely the teaching of the two vines, I say that that is the greatest teaching in all the world that has been hid from our eyes, is to understand what a true Christian was. That there were those two vines, and they were so close in the last days. And those two vines are so close, it is so difficult, except you understand the truth of that doctrine, you could be so badly fooled. Well, I was fooled many years ago when I was about 24, 26 or so, because of the two vines, I saw them speak with tongues. I heard them use the theological or scriptural expressions which were so perfect and wonderful, and I saw them gouge and lie and knife, and I couldn't see any decency, and I said, if this is Christianity, take it, I'm through with it. And I walked off for roughly 8-9 years, and then I was prevailed upon to see him in Canada, and I wept for 2 hours. I saw God move. And I knew I'd have to make a stand back in the direction whence I had gone away. Well, that direction became clear later on as God healed me because of the ministry that Brother Branham had set into motion, not that he had prayed. I never thought I'd ever get to meet the man. But when we went to West Palm Beach at the direct leading of the Lord, God opening the way in a miraculous manner, one Friday night I prophesied and I heard myself say, behold, I will send my prophet out of the north, and he shall teach the people the things they ought to know. And I said, I don't understand what I said, because I don't know any prophets. There's none in Canada. That's north. There's a man, I understand, his name is Nicholson of Sweden. When he goes to Finland, he speaks Finnish. When he goes to England, he speaks English. If he goes to Norway, he speaks Norwegian, or to France, he would speak French. He doesn't know what he says, but he talks in the Holy Ghost. Maybe he's going to come to America. Here he is, and we might get to know him. But I didn't know that north is north. West is just west of the street, 3 feet across the road, or 50,000 miles. It doesn't make any difference. And so a man came to our town, and he talked to me for 2 hours, and he said, you've answered every question on the Holy Spirit. I'd like to receive the Holy Ghost to know the fullness of those things which I don't know. And I said, that's wonderful. And he said, you know Brother Branham? I said, I don't know Brother Branham, but I've seen him. I think he's a great man of God. He said, I've been with him. He is a great man of God. Would you like to meet him? I said, sure, I'd like to meet him. There's some way I can meet him. I'd like to meet him. He said, I've got a friend named Wallace Cobble. He has the Church of the Open Door in 2nd Street in Louisville. You go to see him and say that I think you mentioned my name. He has many people that he has gone, taken to Brother Branham, and he'll take you to him. Well, I didn't know any better than to just believe that. And so one day I started out not realizing, well, realizing, yes, but not comprehending that Brother Branham, a man of such stature, would be called 1,000 places at 1,000 times. And so I came up and remember the old tabernacle, and Brother Cobble brought me over, and Brother Branham was standing outside in a great suit. Here was this sweet little man standing there, and Brother Cobble introduced us, and he said, Brother Bale would like to have some time with you. He said, yes, I'll be glad to have some time with him. And here that was arranged just that since the next day we had time. And he said to me, Brother Bale, I want to come to you for a meeting. And I thought, again, isn't that nice? Here's this man known all over the world. Everybody wants him. And he said he'll come. Of course, that's just being nice. He doesn't mean it. Because he would say that to everybody. But not too many weeks later, I had a telephone call. And Dr. Bowser said, is this Reverend Dale? And I said, yes, that's so. He said, this is Brother Bowser. And I said, well, isn't that marvelous? I'm just so pleased to hear from you. I've read your book on Christ the Healer. I think it's wonderful. And I'm hearing from you. And he said, Brother Branham wants to know what time he wants to come. I said, what did you say?
I know.
He said, Brother Branham wants to know what time he wanted to come. I said, you mean he meant it when he said he would come? He said, yes, he did. He wants to know what time he wanted to come. I said, well, when will he come? He said, when you want him to come. I said, I'll phone you back. We'll get a building. And they tell me that those who heard Brother Branham, that he had never taught as he taught in that meeting in West Palm Beach. You see, God did send him to teach the people the things they ought to know. I was fooled for quite some time. I thought when the star, that pillar of fire fell, which I had read of in Canada, and I was quite young, that the voice said to him that as John the Baptist was the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, your ministry is the forerunner of the second coming. And I thought, that's wonderful, but I was wrong. He said it was the message was the forerunner. And it is the message, the forerunner. Now, if William Branham is dead and shall remain dead, I don't know that he will. I'm confused as any man is confused. I'm afraid we're all a little afraid to express our secret thoughts and feelings because we don't understand if some was merely symbol, if some was reality, we don't know. But I do know the one thing that the angel of the Lord and Brother Branham's understanding was that it was this message. They say, well, he is dead now, that's right. But if light is a vindication, then the Christian science is just as indicated. The Mormon is just as indicated. The Catholic is just as vindicated. Anybody is vindicated, you're basing it upon light. But you can't do it. Because here was a man, though he is now dead, was vindicated, as only a man of God could be vindicated. And if he were to be dead for 50 years, and Christ did not come for 50 years, he is still the only man as vindicated in that word as any man we have known outside the Apostle Paul. We cannot be thrown for 1 minute concerning this word, because this word that he gave is the truth. And though many visions came, which we don't understand, that's not our due or our law trap to understand. The pieces, I believe, will fall in place later on. But he did give us that word. And that word, if much of it we cannot understand, as far as the future events are concerned and some intricate things are concerned, yet he said some things which are so clear that we can follow them. And there is no doubt that in following them, then the other things will be clarified too. I can't remember when he said it, but I'm quite sure he did make the statement that there would come a time when we would, by the Spirit of God, begin to know the things which he had taught us, and we'll all know them in the same way together. And it may have been that Brother Neville's revelation of the little particles descending, it may have been that the a vision of Brother Jackson of the cloud coming down. All of these things may indicate that it is not too long a time until we will begin to know the things which we are still in doubt about and perhaps are at variance with each other. There are some things which I might say this morning, but I'll not say them because I realize that as long as there are doubts in our minds as to exactly what Brother Branham did say and exactly did mean, and it will take to this sermons, I think the sermons in Shreveport brought out so aptly, in fact, inspired me to preach a message on the need of revelation of the hour. We need revelation, and that revelation can come only by the Holy Ghost. If Brother Branham were still here to preach and preach 50 times a day, it still would not make it clear unless God gave us the revelation. There is a tape which has been withheld from you, so you did not even get it by telephone. It is the first message that Brother Branham preached that was in Yuma. And he brought out on the rapture, but the power was so strong of discord there due to an undue influence that he was not able to preach the sermon with as great clarity as he would desire to do so, and were not able to have the time in which to make himself clear. But here is what he read for us in Thessalonians. And it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And those who, this I'm reading from a Lambda translation, which is almost in the King James, and those who died in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain, to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. When he spoke the meaning of this verse of Scripture, I doubted very much, suddenly doubted that he was speaking to us exactly right, because the human mind is so used to reading it in its own channels of understanding. But I have, of course, caught myself, and in catching myself, I am willing to believe and accept his interpretation. And here's what the interpretation is, in case you were not there or did not hear. The Lord himself descending from heaven with the shout is the message of the Laodicean messenger. It may sound strange. The shout is over. It could be. The message has gone forth. Time after time, he said, the seals was the masterpiece. That the coming of the seals was the revelation of all the mysteries being revealed. In Tampa, I wrote him on a piece of paper at the Full Gospel Businessman, I think, going on 2 years ago. And I said, is it not so there are seven major mysteries, and these are some which I have outlined? He wrote back, and he saw on the same piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, if I've still got it, you can read it, and said, that is true, but hold your peace, the time is not yet. I don't know it yet, but it's very green thought. And Roy Porter perhaps did see it, because it was given to him and also to Helen to say, might pass it on as Brother Branham was busy. And I was not busy, of course, but he was. Notice it says then that the voice that the shout is then that the message which has gone forth. And the voice of the archangel, he said, it is when God called forth Lazarus, when Jesus called him forth out of the tomb. Then that would be next. And then, of course, the trumpet of God is the trumpet calling the people to the feast. It could be possible that our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. It is completely true that everything is over in the next few days. Could be the consummation of this day. In other words, I'm distinctly speaking to you of the fact of a possibility of his own resurrection for the dead, and Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
They shall rise first. If there needs a changing, it could be he himself could be changing these atoms. I don't know. Perhaps I'm just guessing. Let us just call it guessing. But if his delineation was true, and I believe that perhaps that just the same, either the notes or the message will be released. If the shout from heaven is the message, and it has gone forth because of the messenger now having expired, which truly he did. And the voice of the archangel then is next, the calling forth. If this is true, then this will be the calling forth of those from their graves and the changing of people in the atoms. And the last thing shall be the literal catching up, which is the trump of God summoning us to the feast of by the trumpet, which, of course, Brother Branham has spoken on. These things we do not know, but I do, that is to say, I do not understand how they will all come to pass. But he did declare, and he went over and over in that human meeting, the thought that this is what it is. And he could not seem to stop repeating himself, that the voice was the message, and that is, the shout was the message, and the voice was the calling forth, and the trump signifies the calling together for the feast. How long the time that will take, I do not know. I do not understand. Now, with just keeping that thought in mind, there we know, of course, that there is this difficult to speak of, and we will not belabor the point. But sometimes there have been undue thoughts concerning Brother Branham as to his who he is. The Scripture gives us sufficient concerning him that he is a prophet, the messenger to the last days. Some have thought that he was a little more in his estimation of the Son of Man description. I wish you to perhaps know at this time that I talked to Brother Branham 2 weeks ago this morning in Tucson. Because of some undue attitudes of some brethren that I love sincerely, I thought concerning what it meant when he said the Son of Man is revealed in flesh. And I asked him exactly concerning the Son of Man being revealed in flesh at this time, which, of course, as he said, the Son of Man would be the prophet. And then, of course, that would be that the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Jesus Christ. And that would be, in my estimation, I said, am I correct in estimating it roughly, that for you to be accepted, or this ministry to be accepted as the last day Elijah ministry, remember, as John the Baptist was recognized by Jesus Christ, Christ cannot himself now recognize the Elijah for this day. So therefore, that would be by the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit manifesting as the Son of Man would be the absolute recognition and authority that this is the ministry and the minister. Now, I hope you've caught me. I'm sort of involved. But if you didn't, we'd just let it be. And he said, that is true. But, he said, all through the church ages, the Son of Man has been revealed in flesh. And the Son of Man being revealed in flesh today is being buried now for a while. That they were living.
Yes.
One man recently said to Billy Paul, he's a man of repute and renown in the healing ministry. He said, I'm so confused, I don't know what it's all about. All I know is I've got a ministry of miracles to take place. But there was a man who knew what it was all about.
Yes,
amen. Yes. Man who knew the word. A man who had confidence, who didn't make undue claims.
Yield he is gone. That doesn't change the picture.
Amen.
We're living, and what can we? Can we stand vindicated where he stood vindicated? You and I are all here this morning. The fact we're living, we're alive, and he is gone. Does that make us somebody?
No.
Amen. No, no.
But here was a man vindicated by that word, wanting that word. And I loved it because William Branham always went to that word. It was word. It wasn't what he said, it was word. May God this morning help us in all the days to come to stand. I like his vernacular. He said, "You're my kid."
Well, you see, a Pauline preacher wouldn't say that. Sure, a Pauline preacher wouldn't say that, but an Irish preacher would.
Amen. "You're just my kid," he said. "I got to take care of him." Made him so happy. I remember a morning, he looked at Brother Wright. Wright called Brother Wright up. He's so frail. I think that Brother Wright one with a little shawl around him. And here it was a man, older than Brother Branham, many years older. And as I saw him look down, and I saw in Brother Branham the face of a father to that old man. And I thought, I can see where the Catholics call their priests fathers against the Word of God. Because they can see in them something they're looking for. And I thought, here I am. I'm not much younger than Brother Branham. Just a few years younger. He couldn't be my father any stretch of imagination. You know, I could go to him like a kid, just like I go to a parent that I never knew. And ask him, and he'd know the answer. What a tremendous person. When he finished the seal, there like an eagle surveying all, knowing that he had the revelation. I thought that majesty had shook me to the core. And I never failed to wonder at the depth of the man. Quality. There must have been something there that God put in Adam before sin came.
Amen.
There was a revelation in this day when the many's love waxed cold because of iniquity. There was a man whose love did not wax cold.
Amen.
When ours is waxed so cold.
Amen.
God, death has no sin.
Amen.
The grave has no victory.
Amen.
Because a life which is hidden with Christ in God is hidden with Christ
Amen.
In God.
Amen.
Cannot be touched. Never come into the judgment. No, that men array you, they cannot array you, and they cannot array you and me.
Amen.
Because of our eyes are hidden with Him. Oh, that we might be a Christian. The God and His servant, Jesus Christ.
Father, we
have prayed already, Lord, that I would not see anything which was undue.
Amen.
Thou, Lord God, who gave breath, gave word, also gave ability by your Spirit to put a guard on men's mouths. I believe, therefore, Lord God, that you have helped me to say the things which might well have been said.
Yes.
And grant, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name, that what I have not been able to say, or could not even hope to say, may thy Spirit begin to teach us and take us step by step into the full, sweet, simple. Because that's what your servant said, God in simplicity. That sweet, simple truth may be ours, Lord Jesus Christ, to not only think it and to know it, but to act it in order that your name be glorified and your inheritance in the saints be rich when you come, and we not ashamed of your coming. We ask this, Lord, for your glory and because of your great mercy. Amen.
Amen.